I'm Matt Harris, and you're listening to Gospel Tangents.
Welcome to Gospel Tangents, the best source for Mormon history, science, and theology. I'm Rick Bennett. BYU is not only known as overwhelmingly Mormon, but overwhelmingly white. So how do non-Mormons and Muslims and other religions fit in at BYU? In our next conversation with Dr. Matt Harris, we'll talk about whether school administrators were trying to recruit religious and racial minorities at BYU. Check out our conversation.
I'll tell you a quick anecdote. In 1981, so 3 years after the revelation, the Brethren told some folks at BYU, we want to keep the numbers of black BYU students low. And we don't care if they're members or not. And this is 81. And they're, you know, and one of the BYU professors spoke up and said, wait a minute, you can't do that. You can't create quotas. That's against the law. The Supreme Court had ruled against quotas in admissions in 1978, just a few years earlier. Anyway, so, but I think that's pretty telling that even in 1981, after the revelation, that there, some of the folks at BYU were getting word, including the coaches, by the way, were getting word to keep the number of blacks low. And that will happen, that's the posture, even as early as 1969, the fall of 69 is when the board gives the policy to BYU that they can allow black students, recruit black athletes and give them scholarships. But even then, when they decided to do that in November of 1969, Ernest Wilkinson assured them that if we do this, we'll keep the numbers low. And they're really fearful of interracial marriage. That's the bottom line of this. And so now, today, I can't imagine that there are you know, people in the 12 today who feel that way simply because it's happened so much in the church, simply because it's so widespread and accepted today. I think the last poll I saw was 88% of Americans are good with interracial marriage. But, you know, back in the day when the church, some of the church leaders were opposing it, I mean, they were part of this national average where, you know, the vast majority of Americans opposed it. And so the church was no different. So you wouldn't hear them giving these old interracial marriage talks today. I just couldn't imagine it. And you mentioned about the priesthood manual having an old Kimball quote in there up until about, I think it's, it went away 2 or 3 years ago. But that's interesting because it stayed in so long. And the way these things usually work, according to my experience, and I know some of these people, when they write in and complain, then it disappears. So it's just, some of it's just negligence. They're old manuals, they're not updated. And then somebody complains and says, you know, that's not really giving the message that we want to give. So, but you know, I think the larger point here is a lot of the leaders and the people who write manuals, they don't always agree. They have their own opinions, and sometimes they lobby hard for their opinions, sometimes they don't. But that's one of the things I've learned over the years doing Mormon history. They're human beings. They have different views. Imagine that. They have different views. So, you know, and it's amazing that they make decisions and get things done because they do have personalities and different temperaments. And I always find it refreshing when I read how human humans are. When I read their diaries and their memos and their letters, it just strikes me that they're humans. They make mistakes, they have tragedies, they have moments of triumph and moments of despair. I relate to that much more than I do somebody who, you know, walks on water.
Oh yeah, well definitely. Well, and I want to share a little anecdote. I know, I'll just try to leave this as generic as possible, but a BYU coach, and he mentioned to me about how difficult it is, and this was just a few years ago, to recruit black athletes to BYU because, number one, it is so white.
Yeah.
What black person would want to go there? And in fact, he just mentioned that it was easier to recruit at other schools because even inside of Utah, because there isn't the same stigma as there is at BYU. So this idea of Ernest Wilkinson, keep the blacks, number of blacks low, has progressed for decades. It really has. And it's just, I think, and I don't know, I would be surprised to hear if there's any sort of policy now that does that. But because maybe it was more conscious in the 60s and 70s, that has persisted even to today, I would say.
Well, I would say there's a little bit, so there was that sort of internal policy, keep the number of African Americans low. I don't know when that ended, probably at least through the 80s. I mean, I just coded that policy from the early 80s. Mm-hmm. And now it's not that way. They're aggressively trying to recruit Latter-day Saints of color, of faculty, because they're BYU is very, very self-conscious about people who have criticized them over the years. You have too many white faculty, you have too many white students. And so they're trying to reach out and to diversify their student body. But the truth is, there's so few African Americans in the church.
Well, but there's also the Gary Croton era, you know, where Gary made it a goal, you know, after Lavelle Edwards left, I want to recruit black athletes. And then that kind of blew up in his face. And some got in trouble with the law. And it seems like, you know, I know Bronco Mendenhall was the next coach in there for the football team. And he came in afterwards and we're going to recruit Mormon athletes. And I don't think that Bronco cared whether they were black or white or Tongan or whatever. Mm-hmm. But he didn't want them getting in trouble with the law, because that was a problem with Gary Croton. And so it still seems like it's an issue. You know, if you don't have any black people, why would a black athlete especially come to BYU? So it's kind of a self-perpetuating problem, it seems like.
Well, I mean, you know, the problem would be more likely to, I should say, go away, but it would get better if there were more black Latter-day Saints. The truth is, in the United States, black Mormons comprise less than 3% of the church body, the last statistic I read. So of that 3%, how many of them are college age? I don't know.
And how many of them are college athletes?
And yeah, and there's also, how many of them are good enough to play Division I? There's that. But there's also this idea, it's still a white student body. And there are some black kids who go to BYU, and the truth is it's a mixed bag. I know some black students who've gone there, and they fit in really well and been happy, and some have just been miserable. And some have said, you know, the racism was nothing to write home about, it's okay. And others, oh my gosh, I've never been around as racist an institution as BYU. And racism, is, of course, is defined in different ways, right? It's not just calling somebody a racial slur, which I don't think happened, but it's using shards of the old Mormon racial doctrine. For example, a young woman came home one day, a black BYU student came home to her dorm room one day, and her white roommate looked at her, just stared at her as she walked through the door. And the black girl said, "What are you staring at?" And the white girl responded, "I just wonder what you'll look like in the resurrection when you're white like me. I wonder if I'll recognize you." I mean, those are microaggressions that are just intensely painful. And you do get crap like that. I'm going to take my filter out for a moment. You get stuff like that that happens. It's extremely unfortunate. And in the interracial dating and marriage, you still get, sometimes you get people that'll look askance at somebody, a black and a white couple on campus. It's gotten better. There's no doubt about it. It's gotten better. But in my experience from my studies and from that of students I've talked to and other folks who have some experience with this, it's a mixed bag with black students at BYU. And I can't speak as authoritatively as you can with Gary Croton. I do know that he had some athletes get into trouble. And I know that the big issue now is, I think I heard or read somewhere, a third of the football team are not LDS. I think I read
really?
That.
I didn't know it was that
maybe
high.
Maybe it is that too high. I don't recall. But they're really, really going after what they call character kids. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't matter if you're a Catholic and you're black or whatever. As long as you're a good character kid and you've got, we're going to meet your family, we're going to talk to your family, we'll get a sense of how you were raised. And then we're going to make a judgment, you know, if you're going to fit in here. And whether you're LDS or not, because we know LDS kids who haven't fit into BYU, right?
Right.
So it really transcends just religion. It's a lot about your personality.
Well, and it does seem like Muslim kids seem to fit in well at BYU. I know some people that have worked, some Muslims that have worked at BYU. And I know Muhammad Elouanibi made it into the NFL.
Yeah, I remember him.
He was a big lineman for BYU, and it seemed like...
Was he LDS?
No, he was Muslim.
Muslim, okay.
Yeah, and so it seemed like he, you know, Islam with the word of wisdom, they don't have the word of wisdom, but they don't drink and the health code. And a lot of BYU can be actually very attractive to Islamic athletes.
Low tuition, or cheap tuition, yeah.
You know, I guess if you're a scholarship athlete, yeah.
Even cheaper. Yeah, it's a mixed bag. We have In my community, we have a good Catholic kid. He's Hispanic, and he's got a BYU football scholarship.
Oh, wow.
And his dad was talking to me. I told his dad I was a BYU alum, and he said, what do you think about my son going there? And I said, well, I think if he keeps his nose clean, lives the honor code, he probably won't have any issues. If he wants to go out and violate the honor code, then he might have some problems. So, you know, where I come from, I don't know, I don't want to sound priggish, but where I come from, you know, your word's your word, you know?
Well, and it probably helps that we have a non-white coach in Kalani Sitake as well for recruiting, I would think.
Yeah, his father spoke volumes about Kalani Sitake and how honest he felt he was and how approachable, and they just had really, and they're gonna let the kid run track too, by the way. He's a state sprint champion in Colorado 2 years in a row, so he's faster than fast. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I said he'll fit in as long as he doesn't violate the honor code. I said, dating will be interesting. He said, what do you mean? And I said, well, he's a Catholic and Mormons are taught to marry in the temple. And they're going to do two things. They're going to try to convert him. If he meets a young woman and she's very Orthodox, they're going to try to convert him. And, well, my son's a good Catholic. Well, that's good. You know, have him bear his testimony to her. And I made a joke of it. He started, what's a testimony? So, your son will learn. And anyway, I just kind of made a joke. I said, well, when they bear their testimony, he can bear his testimony. And anyway, Dad laughed. But I said, the dating will be interesting. You know, it's hard to generalize at BYU. It's a mixed bag.
Well, the religion's probably a bigger deal than the interracial thing.
Oh, that's absolutely. The religion would be the big one. I said, so it's true. If he meets a Latter-day Saint girl, she's been told ever since she was big that she needs to marry in the temple. Well, you have to be a good member to marry in the temple. And that'll be an interesting challenge when your son, if he's as good a Catholic as you say is, and, you know, I believe the dad, it's a good family. What will happen to the relationship?
Jim McMahon was Catholic. And I'm still is, as far as I know.
At least on paper, right?
Yeah, that's right.
I don't know what he was at BYU. I don't think it was anything, was he?
He was a wild child.
He was a wild child. Yeah. Jeez.
Things were different under Lavelle.
Yeah. But just to conclude this thought, BYU, I know they're very sensitive about racial issues. They want more black students. They want more black faculty. Faculty is a big one. They get evaluated on these things. They get accreditation bodies that will evaluate the, you know, the diversity of the faculty. And so I know that whenever they get a black faculty member who's a Latter-day Saint, they always try to privilege, you know, church members. And they're qualified and they want them. The question is, once again, not just the students, but do these black Latter-day Saints who have PhDs, do they want to live in predominantly white Provo? That's a big issue, right? And so BYU's had a very checkered past recruiting minority faculty and also minority students, mm-hmm. Except for, of course, Lamanites, Native Americans. It's a whole different story. But with persons of African lineage, it's been a challenge.
Well, it has it.
I hope you enjoyed our conversation with Dr. Matt Harris. You know, in the 1960s and 70s, there were a lot of sports protests against BYU. I was actually surprised to learn how many there were.
I can tell you categorically that there were well over 100 protests from different universities.
Wow, I didn't know it was that big.
Yeah, me neither.
Wow.
And we think of the big ones in football and basketball. They were protesting BYU band events, wrestling, you name it.
Wow. If you'd like to hear the entire interview uncut, please support Gospel Tangents and become a subscriber. For just $5 a month, go to patreon.com/gospeltangents and you can hear the entire interview. And you can also get transcripts available at either our Amazon website, or if you want to give the money to me and not Amazon, please subscribe on my website at gospeltangents.com and you can click the yellow subscribe button. Of course, we're also on Facebook, Twitter, and all the other places. Make sure you subscribe on iTunes at tinyurl.com/gospeltangents. And don't forget to click here to subscribe on YouTube, here for a transcript. And over here, we've got some more of our great videos. Thanks again for listening.